Well, welcome to our seminar entitled Searching for the Truth on Origins. This morning, we are going to continue now with session number 11. And the title for this presentation is The Rising Interest in the Supernatural, subtitled Evolution and the Future. We want to lay the foundation for this presentation by looking at three portions of Scripture. First of all, beginning in Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 9 to 11, a portion of Scripture which we've previously looked at, but let's repeat it. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I have made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. And then, from the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Paul writes, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, these scriptures tell us some very important principles. First of all, that in the past it was apparent, as we look at biblical history, that man turned away from God, trusted in the gods. And Jeremiah pleaded with the people of his day because of what they were doing. And he said, judgment is going to come upon you if you continue in this direction. And as we know, that's exactly what occurred. Ecclesiastes, we're told that there's nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself, and whatever has occurred before in the past, well, it can occur again. And then in Ephesians, we are told that there's a battle going on, an unseen battle that we can't observe in our physical senses, but it's against a dimension that's out to destroy us, a spiritual dimension. History repeats itself. And throughout history, there is this pattern of man seeking after the fallen spiritual direction. The scriptures help us to understand. The ministry, Understand the Times, is dedicated to helping people to recognize not only that the Bible is true about the past, which we have been doing in this series, looking at the subject of origins, looking at the claims of evolution, looking at the claims of creation. And we've been able to see that the Bible supports what God has said. But the Bible also helps us to understand what's happening in the world today. And as we looked at the impact of evolution on society, we were able to see that the reason that mankind does the things that he does is because he's placed God aside. And evolution has been one of those major ways that man has used to remove God from his thinking. Therefore, immorality and depravity. And then seeking after a spirituality based on what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, when man rejects the overwhelming evidence for creation, he'll begin to worship the creation rather than the Creator, and incorporate into his life the various things which we've observed that occurred in the past when people rejected God. Now, in this presentation, I would like to demonstrate to you that the Bible gives us understanding into the future. And in particular, the subject matter of this series, Searching for the Truth on Origins, we want to look at the role that evolution plays. What role does evolution play in preparing the world for the future? And so we will begin this subject this morning as we look at the interest in the supernatural. Now, just a short word of testimony before we get into this particular area. I came to Christ through recognizing that evolution was not true and seeing the significance of creation. And the first part of our ministry primarily dealt with pointing people to the Creator. I was a fairly new Christian when one day I was looking for some materials for my two boys to read, comic books. And I went into a store to buy some comic books, and I discovered that the comics had changed rather radically since I had been a child. And as I observed some of the things, I thought, I can't buy these. What is this material? And so I started to collect a file, because I could see that children were being introduced to some of the pagan gods of the ancients. And I call this file The Rising Interest in the Supernatural. And this presentation that you're going to see is actually a review of materials that I've gathered since I've been a Christian, now over 25 years. So some of it will be somewhat dated because it's things which have occurred a couple of decades ago, but you're going to see a pattern, an emerging pattern that has taken place since the early 1980s. You see, it was then, as I said, that I started to recognize that children were being introduced to super beings, superheroes that had superpowers. And many of these creatures were extremely grotesque and ugly. In fact, they were hybrids, part animal, part human. Some of the popular comic books of the past, like Wonder Woman. And here you see Wonder Woman with a creature beside her that's part goat and part human. These entities are extremely popular. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, whether it be collecting cards or toys or characters that come from Hollywood movies. There's a common theme, and that theme is supernatural beings from extraterrestrial sources with supernatural powers. And when you examine these powers, well, really they are totally out of the realm of the occult and witchcraft. But there's an incredible fascination with them. Even games, role-playing games, where young people participate, practicing spells, playing the roles of demons. And then, of course, there's the New Age. Many methods, therapies, which are really nothing more than Eastern metaphysical beliefs, are introduced into society, even to children. So what is going on in our society? Why are people so obsessed with these super beings? The Hollywood films, many of them, as we look back through the past few decades, have been focused on this same topic. Super beings, extraterrestrial sources, supernatural powers. Then, of course, there's the popular series of books on Harry Potter. And very clearly, as you look through these books, you see, again, these supernatural entities and occultic powers. Popular films like Lord of the Rings. Well, some people say you can even use these films to promote Christianity. But in the films, we see often very clear representations of demonic creatures and the powers of wizards and witches. This interest is global. It is not something that's just happening in North America. And in the past 10 years, I've traveled almost entirely around the world. And wherever I have gone, I have found this same kind of fascination and interest. Whether it be in Japan, or China, or Russia, or South America, the same kinds of materials have been translated, and the same interest amongst the children and the adults. We even see presentations that come to us through popular magazines that are talking about this subject regarding the possibility that there may be other forms of life that exist in the universe. like the front cover this time. Is anybody out there? How the discovery of two planets brings us closer to solving the most profound mystery in the cosmos? Or the incredible interest there is in UFOs? Well, many of them, the ideas or the present testimonies given by people obviously could be questionable, but there seems to be many who suggest that, you know, there's something going on. That visitations are occurring from beings that exist in other parts of the universe. Well, here's another Time magazine. Aliens have landed. Science fiction makes a comeback. And yes, indeed, science fiction deals with this subject extensively. And then there are people who get so involved in this. Well, you'll remember Marshall Applewhite. 39 others, along with himself, perished because they wanted to shed their bodies and go aboard a UFO. The question then, as is asked on the front cover of this Discover magazine, is anyone out there? How do we answer that? And does the Bible give us some insight and understanding? And, as I said, does evolution have any role to play here in terms of setting up the world into expecting that someday in the future there may be beings that will appear? Beings that perhaps are on another dimension, further evolved. Well, this morning we want to look at this subject. First of all, I want to look at the Bible as a key to understanding the past regarding this subject of supernatural beings, because the Bible has a lot to say. You see, throughout history, it is apparent since the fall of man that this planet has been the battleground of the universe. That is, since Eve and Adam disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. From that moment on, this earth then was open to an influence of the fallen spiritual dimension. And you cannot understand biblical history unless you understand that this has occurred. That Satan and the fallen angels have interfered in the affairs of man and have done everything possible to destroy man, to deceive the world. That's Satan's agenda. And we're going to see that there have been various periods in history when this appears to have intensified. We know that man fell, and then after the fall, there was the flood, and then there was the time of the Tower of Babel. And we know that at the beginning, or before the flood, when man turned away from God, the Bible says it would appear they became involved in some sort of involvement with the fallen spiritual dimension. And the wickedness and the perversion of man was so great that God was grieved and he brought the judgment. The survivors were instructed to repopulate the earth, and the Bible tells us that they immediately built a city and a tower, Tower of Babel, the city of Babylon. And God was angered, and he confounded their language, and then they dispersed. And as we've looked at previously in some other presentations, you see the sudden emergence of great civilizations, and they're building towers, pyramids, ziggurats. And these structures are associated with their spiritual practices. That is, they're worshiping the heavens. They're worshiping the gods. They're worshiping the sun as God. They're worshiping the moon as God. They're worshiping serpents as God. They're worshiping the dragon as God. The Bible is clear. When man rejects God, there's this pattern that occurs. He turns to the gods. You can find the evidence all over the world. You see, in archaeology, we see these carvings, usually in stone, of weird-looking creatures, usually part animal and part human. You find them associated with these great civilizations that existed in the past that were building cities. Their artifacts show us that these people were highly intelligent. They worshipped serpents, creatures that were part serpent and part human. They worshipped creatures that were part fish and part human, like this deity you see from India. By the way, these deities can be duplicated in various parts of the world, separated by thousands of miles and hundreds of years. For example, the Bible talks about the Philistine god Dagon, who is also fish human. The ancient Greeks worshipped the centaur, part horse, part human. Or the Minotaur in the Minoan civilization was part bull and part human. The Assyrians worshipped a god that was part bird and part human. And we have this elephant human god that's found in various places around the world, in India and even in Central America. In Egypt, they worshipped a creature that was jaguar-human combination, many other different deities, animal-human hybrids. The Western Plains Indians worshipped the serpent. The dragon is also common throughout the ancient world. Now, we should be able to understand why this occurred from the biblical perspective. Because the Bible calls Satan the serpent, the dragon, the one who deceives the whole world. And we find the evidence in archaeology that, yes, that's exactly what has occurred. Particularly in Central America, the Mayans, the Aztecs were very much involved in serpent worship. In China, the dragon. So we see that history reveals that people of the past were obsessed with the gods, just as the Bible states. Here's one, Quetzalcoatl. Serpent, human, bird combination, in which hundreds of thousands of people were sacrificed. Their lives were given to this deity. Now that's the past. And the Bible gives us insight and understanding. But what about the future? We've looked at the current trend. We see, yes, the people today seem to be rather obsessed with these kinds of beings. Is there any connection? Well, what we want to do now is to turn to the book of Revelation, which of course deals with the future. Well, there's some people who say, no, the book of Revelation's already occurred. It happened, you know, a couple of millennia ago. That's not what we're referring to in terms of the future. It's just something that you can either interpret through symbolism. But, you know, there's all kinds of descriptions. A lot of people don't even look at the book of Revelation because they say they don't understand it. But I would suggest to you that the book of Revelation is God's revelation to man to help us to understand where we're headed. And in this book, it tells us about a number of things that are going to be occurring in the future during a time of great tribulation, when God's wrath is poured out into the world. Now, there's some good news, is that those who have placed their trust in Jesus will not be appointed to this time of wrath. This is a time that will not be a good time to be around. And those who have placed their trust in Jesus have not been appointed to this horrible time of wrath and judgment that's going to occur. This will be a time of demonic manifestations. And we're going to look at the scriptures in a moment. And these demonic manifestations that will occur will be part of this judgment. And some of these beings that will be released upon the earth at this time will come from within the earth. And some will come upon the earth. Now we turn to Revelation chapter 9. Reading verses 1 to 2. And the fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, what is the Bible talking about? As I said, there many people just they say, I can't study the book of Revelation. It makes no sense whatsoever. But what if we just take it for what it has to say? You see, the Bible is telling us this. A star falls, but to him is given the key. It seems to be a personality. And throughout Scripture, we see that stars and angels, those two terms are used interchangeably or synonymously. So a star fell, but to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Whatever the case, something falls to the earth. And the Bible says that something happens to the earth. The bottomless pit is open. What is the bottomless pit? Well, most Bible teachers believe the bottomless pit actually is the center of the earth. So whatever the case, if the pit opens, the earth's crust would have to fracture. And it seems that this is what the Bible is describing. because it mentions that something occurs to the light of the sun. If the earth's crust fractures, obviously what is going to come out of the earth will be volcanic ash and all kinds of materials. The pit opening, and out of the pit comes volcanic materials, steam, ash, which obviously would affect the atmosphere, the light of the sun. Then we are told further, beginning in verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. See, it describes these locusts as coming out of the earth, and what's going to happen, the kind of devastation that's going to occur. But we're given a more clear description of the locusts. Now, as we continue in verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. What is John describing in this vision? Well, I've tried this on numerous occasions. Wherever I've traveled, whether it's in Russia, Japan, China, throughout South America. And I've given this presentation in all of these places. And I've had translators in these countries read these verses to a group of children. And then I've asked the children what they think the Bible is talking about. And in almost every occasion, when I read these verses, the children have no trouble at all understanding what the Bible is talking about, because the very descriptions of these creatures that are released from the pit are exactly the same kinds of things that young people are seeing almost every day in their comics, so-called cartoons, the games, their toys. Weird, grotesque, hideous creatures, which they call superheroes. Now let's continue. Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath the name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which were bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of man. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Now, the Bible describes what they look like. It describes where they're released from. And before I show you a visual of creatures in terms of what they look like, I want to show you this geophysical map of the very location where the Bible is describing where the pit is going to be open. The Tigris and the Euphrates River join together and flow into the Persian Gulf, into the Gulf of Oman. And there in the Gulf of Oman, before it opens into the Arabian Sea, you will notice that dark area, that's a pit that goes down into the depths of the earth, one of the deepest abysses of the earth's crust. Well, it's interesting that That's located in this place where the Bible says someday the pit will open. Now, I want to show you this photograph. This is a tattoo, and it's on the back of a man, and he's lying dead in a morgue. And behind this tattoo is a significant story. When I was first involved in ministry, my partner was a man who had been involved with the Calgary Police Force in the late 70s. And he and several others were involved in a shootout with this man. This man had been heavily involved in drugs into the occult. He was in jail for several years and then released on parole. And one day he went into a store and he stole some glue. And the store owner called the police. They went to the location where this man was living and they were met with a barrage of gunfire. And for several hours they shot tear gas into the building trying to get him to come out. Finally he came out. He killed a policeman, wounded seven others before he was killed. And this is the tattoo on his back. And I will describe it to you. Sort of a horse-like creature with a head looking somewhat like a lion with hair flowing back. And you can see it's breathing fire. Then we see that the tail of the horse looks like a serpent. And this horse has wings. Looks like a dragon. And on the back of the horse, there is a rider, and the rider has cloven hooves, and you will notice it's holding a sword. Now, I want to read to you the description from Revelation chapter 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having the breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now, you cannot help but notice the similarity of the tattoo and the description given in these verses. And of course, there are people who say, well, you see, the tattoo artist read these verses. Well, I would like to believe that. But I don't know who the tattoo artist was. But what I can tell you this is that I have hundreds of examples of these same kinds of creatures in my files that I've collected over the years. And there are many of these, well, you can see them, dragon-like creatures. They have riders on their backs. They're breathing fire and destruction upon the earth. Here's one, heavy metal, rider on the back. Locust, dragon-like creature, destruction on earth. And they're obvious in terms of their supernatural abilities. And there's something common about them all. The toys have these kinds of creatures. And then we have, well, we've already looked at it, the popular Harry Potter series. The same kinds of entities appear. And I've asked a number of people who've been involved in putting these artist representations together where they got the inspiration. And I have been told sometimes it comes through practice of Eastern religion, yoga and meditation. They start to get these concepts that come to their minds, and others have said, well, they were on hallucinogenic drugs. So the tattoo, you see, it's not unique. There are many people getting these visions. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 10, now we're talking about an event when it would appear that there's sort of super beings that come upon the earth from above. And it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. So there's coming this time in the future when one of God's holy angels, Michael, will defeat Satan and the fallen angels, and they will be cast to the earth. You see, that hasn't happened. The Bible says it will happen. And when that happens, when this war takes place in heaven, and these fallen spiritual beings are defeated and cast to the earth and confined to the earth, it seems reasonable that they may well appear on the earth in weird, grotesque embodiments, hybrid-like creatures, part animal, part human. And based on our understanding of what has occurred in history already, these creatures very much may appear as the deities and the demigods that so many great societies were obsessed in the past. Well, it's interesting speculation, but I think it can be documented that something is taking place in our world as society is being prepared. And there's this time coming, the Bible says, when our world will be judged in a great global catastrophe, series of events that take place during the tribulation. So how is this preparation occurring? Well, again, I'm going to show you some things that I've collected through the years. Here's one of the first things that came to my attention. It was an advertisement for a number of posters in a comic book called Creature Creations. Meet the funniest, craziest, most gruesome family of creatures to arrive from outer space. There's some rather weird-looking creatures, but the interesting thing here is the company that's advertising these posters and its symbol, which is the all-seeing eye, which everyone knows has something to do with the occult. Here's a collection of some of the superheroes, the toys, in the 80s and the 90s. And you'll note hybrid creatures, part animal, part human, supernatural powers and abilities. Here's an Incredible Hulk comic book, and on the front cover you'll see a number of these weird creatures. Here on this page, I'll show you some of the depictions. That's an elephant human. And that's a horse human. And that is the bull human. And then there's the bird human and the fish human. All of these I've already showed you are some of the gods of the ancients. As well, a goat human, like the god Pan. This is probably the first major Hollywood film that caught people's attention. E.T., the extraterrestrial. As Ted Koppel says, it answers the question that we're all asking. Is there something out there? Not only is there life in outer space, but the movie tells it is more, listen, highly evolved than we are. You see, there's all kinds of people who embrace the idea that there are beings that may exist out there that are on another dimension because they're more highly evolved. Star Wars. Well, the first series had all kinds of entities with superpowers. This one is rather interesting. When this film was popular back in the 80s, I actually used to show this slide first, and the children begin to yell, "Darth Vader!" But it's the Norse god, Odin. And then Yoda. Well, you always see Yoda associated with the serpent. And as I mentioned in a previous session, the serpent represents the oneness of life. Or, as some are saying, represents evolution. Here's a young man went to a movie, he said five times, he said, "I wish I had a friend like Yoda to teach me how to use the Force." That's like saying, "I wish I had a friend to teach me how to practice witchcraft." Here, again, advertisement for a series of toys back in the early 80s. Alien creatures. Notice the hybrid characteristics. Here's a series of games and toys. Superpowers, Sectors, Galaxy Warriors, He-Man, Masters of the Universe, Star Wars, The Return of the Jedi, The Warrior Beasts, Dragon Riders, The Other World, Galaxy Girl. Check out the toy stores, and you will find that this is what's going on. And if it isn't in the toy stores, well, then check out the video games. The same kinds of things. as many young people are obsessed with these games that introduce them to this whole spiritual dimension. I've referenced Harry Potter in terms of its connection with the witchcraft. Well, not all people agree, you see. I was at a conference a couple of years ago, a Christian bookselling conference, when this book was being advertised at a Christian book table. The Gospel According to Harry Potter, a wonderful rebuttal for those who see something sinister in this children's classic, says Tony Campola. And the author of this book says, you can use Harry Potter to teach people about the Gospel. But my question is, how can you use witchcraft to teach people about the Gospel when the Bible says witchcraft is an abomination to God? And by the way, usually when I confront these things, and often we do this on radio programs, I get a lot of phone calls from Christians who think I've lost touch with reality. They say it's just a cute story and it has nothing to do with witchcraft practices. Well, I'm going to read to you, we have a few minutes, just a short portion of one of the radio transcripts on Harry Potter, and then you can decide. For years, I've been following the rising interest in the supernatural and how Satan has been seducing our generation. When the Harry Potter phenomenon hit, it was just another example. Being occupied with other research, I placed Harry Potter on the shelf. But now this has changed. Harry Potter is extremely dangerous and people must be warned. This is why. Well, it has been claimed Joanne Rowling chose the name Potter because she had friends with this name when she was a little girl. I'm convinced there's good reason to be suspicious. An interview with Miss Rowling posted on the internet provides some interesting information. When asked what influenced her to come up with the characters, Rowling responded, "The classics part of my degree at Exeter College did furnish me with a lot of good names for characters." After reading her statement, I was reminded of a book I found at university campus titled The Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. As I was flipping through the book, I discovered a section titled Potter. This is what I read. The Sumerian Babylonian goddess Aruru the Great was the original potter, who created human beings out of clay. She made man in the image of God and infused him with the breath of heaven, which brought him to life. Aruru was also Ishtar, Inanna, Ninhursag, Mami, Mama, or Mamutu. She made the first man, Adam, out of clay. I would like to tell you all of the other connections in the Harry Potter series that show that there is no question the author knows exactly what she's doing. And I continue. The mother creator goddess who emerged at Babylon was worshipped in other places. The Greeks called her Astarte and equated her with the love goddess Aphrodite. She is mentioned frequently in the Old Testament as the revival of the God of the Jews, as Ashtaroth, also known as the Queen of Heaven. In India, Kali Ma was the same goddess who called Kalmari or the pot goddess. By the way, I'm concerned about people when they're obsessed by the Queen of Heaven. Today, many call this Queen of Heaven Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible says the Queen of Heaven is a demon. You see, there are many ways that Satan can get people's attention. Now we move on to the area of science, and more specifically, the subject matter, evolution. Science fiction portrays creatures today, well, they're really not new. Same kinds of creatures that were in the minds of human beings in the past, like the Assyrians and the Greeks. And by the way, today, through genetic engineering, there's a potential for this to happen. Hybrids, part human, part animal. Here we see an article, Intelligent Life in Space, by Carl Sagan, who states, scientists estimate that in the Milky Way alone, there may be 1 million planets with technical civilizations. Can we communicate with them? You see, these ideas have been around for some time. Sagan, who was a promoter of evolution, was a promoter of the idea that extraterrestrials certainly must exist. Here's a book called Extraterrestrials, Science and Alien Intelligence. Or here's an article from a Science Digest, our cosmic cousins. New discoveries by radio astronomers confirm our links to all matter that exists throughout Darwin's universe. Well, since when did this universe belong to Charles Darwin? You see, the idea is, because Darwin came up with an idea, a so-called mechanism for the origin and development of life, that evolution explains the origin and the development of life, not here only on Earth, but everywhere in the universe. And these scientists are saying that someday maybe we will meet our cosmic cousins. They may look like this. Part bat, part human. Or part dolphin and part human. You see, people like Sagan took this seriously. Notice what he says on page 179 of his book, The Cosmic Connection. It is not a question of whether we are emotionally prepared in the long run to confront a message from the stars. It is whether we can develop a sense that beings with quite different evolutionary histories, beings who may look far different from us, even monstrous, may nevertheless be worthy of friendship and reverence and brotherhood and trust. You see, without the concept of evolution, no one would conceive of the idea that these so-called beings with supernatural powers, weird-looking configurations, well, he calls them monstrous, could exist. But science that believes in evolution has made it possible. Robert Jastrow said, I believe that man and Earth are not unique in the universe. He says, life that is a billion years beyond us may be far beyond the flesh and blood form that we would recognize. It may be in the form of the silicon-based intelligence I mentioned earlier, or more likely, it is disembodied and has escaped its mortal flesh to become something that old-fashioned people would call spirits. Well, that's what the Bible calls them. And they exist. And the Bible says they have a plan. And their plan is to interfere in the affairs of man. And it seems like we're being prepared. First contact. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence. A series of articles by some well-known science writers. Or those who claim that they've already made contact. Like Whitley Strieber. Communion. A true story. Or cults that are focused around UFOs. The message given to me by extraterrestrials. Claude Berillon. Ariel, and this is everywhere, including Russia. Fascination with the possibility that someday soon the extraterrestrials will arrive. Now the question. It's the same question that was asked on the front cover of the Discover magazine, is anyone out there? And the answer to the question, based on the creation model, is yes. There is an unholy dimension that exists, and the Bible forbids that man makes contact. There is one way to contact God, and that's through the mediator, Jesus Christ. No other way. But Satan's goal is to get man to contact that dimension, that spiritual dimension, through various means. Indeed, the battle is happening all around us. And as Paul writes, put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan has a plan. He's a schemer. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And all of this wouldn't have occurred in our generation to a society that trusts in science if science had not given us a reason to explain the possibility of extraterrestrial beings. I call it the evolution delusion, reintroducing the gods to our present generation. I thank God that He gives us His Word, which reveals to us His truth, so that we can understand our time.